Hey everybody, Rob Maurer here. Welcome back to Tesla Daily. Quite a bit to go through today. We'll take a look at Tesla stock and the macro environment, what's coming up there. Also got news on FSD from Friday. We'll talk about the price change and FSD beta. We've got a report on some potential huge growth plans for one of Tesla's business lines, updates from analysts, a new nickel contract, and a couple of other things as well. Nice little start to the week here today for Tesla stock, finishing up 3% after being down this morning. Tesla finishing at $1,058.12, and the NASDAQ, after also being red this morning, barely eked out a positive finish, closing up 0.05%. We've been keeping a little bit of an eye on the 10-year yield that did spike up a little bit this morning, but then declined steadily throughout the day as the NASDAQ then rose, with the 10-year basically finishing the day where it ended on Friday. I did also want to take a quick look ahead at the macroeconomic calendar for this week, as obviously there's a lot of attention on that right now, and it's influencing the markets pretty heavily. And there's a decent amount to keep an eye on this week, starting off with tomorrow, about a half an hour after market open. Fed Chairman Jerome Powell will be testifying to the Joint Economic Committee. He'll have a statement, and then there'll also be a Q&A as well. So obviously the market's going to be trying to take any clues that they can away from that. Then on Wednesday, before market open, the consumer price index will come out. That'll be followed on Thursday before market open by the producer price index, as well as initial jobless claims. So a lot going on, Fed statement, inflation, unemployment. And then of course, in about 2 weeks from now, a little over 2 weeks, we'll have the next Fed meeting. That's on January 25th and 26th. And for better or worse, that likely overlaps with Tesla's earnings week, if not the earnings date itself. Speaking of which, we'll probably see Tesla publish the schedule for that sometime this week. All right, getting into Tesla specific news. First, I just want to catch up on something from Friday that came out right as we were publishing the episode. I put a pinned comment in there, but we did hear from Elon on Friday that Tesla is planning to raise the price of the FSD option only in the US to $12,000, up from $10,000. This change is planned for January 17th. So next Monday, Elon said no change yet to the subscription price, but he did say that those subscription prices would rise when FSD goes to wide release. Elon also notes that, quote, FSD price will rise as we get closer to FSD production code release, end quote. All right, so obviously a lot of discussion on this on Friday, and over the weekend, I wanted to spend a couple of minutes here sharing my thoughts. First, I would say this should not come as a surprise, just as Elon said there. He has said this many times in the past that FSD would continue to increase. Nevertheless, every time Tesla does this, there ends up being a lot of noise. Obviously, customers never going to be happy with a price increase, so people are going to take the opportunity to complain about the feature, saying it's not worth it. That's fine. If people have that opinion, just like with any other price increase, they can opt to not buy the product or not buy the option. Totally fine. Personally, it's not the point of view that I have. $12,000 or $10,000 or $8,000, all of these are significant chunks of money. But if you want the product that FSD is, specifically FSD beta, I think without the beta, it's kind of a different conversation. But if we're talking about FSD beta, which is getting easier and easier to access, at least within the US where we're talking about this price increase, if you want that, there are no other options. Even if FSD beta doesn't work perfectly, which of course it does not, it's far from being perfect, but for people that are interested in technology, interested in seeing this development firsthand, the fact that you can even buy access to this at all, I think is pretty cool. Now, importantly, that's not the same thing as saying that Tesla has handled all of this FSD consumer-facing stuff perfectly. That's definitely not the case, but I think anytime there is a price change to FSD, specifically if the price is increasing, people use that as an opportunity to complain about things that just really aren't even related to what the current price is. People will scoff and say, how could Tesla raise prices when they still haven't delivered what was promised to me back in 2017 or whatever? Personally, I view those as very separate things, but they tend to get combined around these changes. I think most of the problems that people actually have are around marketing and communication, and they direct that at the pricing conversation because it's really the only opportunity to do so. So those are kind of my thoughts from a customer perspective. Again, a customer is never going to celebrate a price increase, although price increases do benefit those that did buy it at a lower cost. But then I also want to look at this from a business perspective or an investor perspective because I've seen some mixed thoughts on this as well. The biggest complaint is always that, oh, this is going to drive down the take rate. Look, I guarantee nobody understands that better than Tesla. They've got a ton of price elasticity data across their product line, and specifically to FSD price increases, they've already done this many times. They'll be able to have high confidence in their forecast on if a higher price and potentially a lower take rate is going to net out positive for gross margin or not. And either way, they're going to make the decision with a really good understanding of that effect beforehand. Let's say it does drop the take rate a little bit and it actually ends up having a negative impact towards Tesla's gross margin. As I said, they would probably know that, so why would they want to make that choice? Well, you've got to think about this from Elon Musk's perspective, and Elon Musk probably doesn't want a high take rate on that option. If Tesla completes level 4 autonomous driving this year, like Elon Musk believes, then selling FSD on a vehicle that could last 15, 20 years for $12,000 is such a bad deal for Tesla. Tesla doesn't want a high take rate on this. First of all, they can't even recognize all the cash right now. Second, they don't need it. Tesla doesn't need to show better financials to get the stock price higher. It's already at a great spot. And even if the stock were higher, Tesla doesn't need to raise capital. For that same reason, not needing capital, that also means that Tesla doesn't need to sell a bunch of FSD options up front right now in exchange for cash early when they believe over the next 12 to 24 months, that option is going to be worth way, way more. Now, disagree with that if you want. I don't necessarily agree on the timeline, but if that is the belief, then it really doesn't make any sense to even sell FSD for $12,000 right now. Now, the counterargument to that would be that, okay, even if Tesla does solve level 4, then there's no guarantee that these cars sold without FSD are going to then buy it or turn it on or subscribe or whatever. And yes, that's fair, and many won't, but it should be economically compelling to do so. That's just another part of the equation that Tesla has to consider. The point is that a lower take rate or even a lower gross profitability right now isn't necessarily inherently against what Tesla would want. Right, with those perspectives shared, there is one other part of this that I think is very interesting, and that is the timing. So Elon said January 17th. That's giving people plenty of time to get their orders in before that if they do so want to. The price increase after that creates an incentive to hold on to those orders. That would be a very smart thing to do before announcing something that would maybe make people want to cancel orders. One of those things could be another product update. And we already know that Elon Musk plans to be on Tesla's fourth quarter call to give a product roadmap update. So, putting those things together is kind of interesting, especially because at some point, Tesla's going to have to tell us what their plans are for fitting new 4680 vehicles into the lineup. I mean, they could shoot for similar specs between 4680 and 2170 model-wise, but between 4680s, rear and front castings, structural battery, there's a lot of new technology, and it's going to be a little bit tricky for Tesla to introduce this seamlessly, I think. So, who knows what we'll see, but the timing is very interesting to me, especially because January 17th might be exactly 1 week before the earnings call. Obviously, we'll see. And it's worth remembering that last year, the Q4 earnings report was when Tesla disclosed all the details of the Model S and X refresh. So we've already got some precedent for product updates at the earnings report, plus then, of course, Elon's product roadmap update. It's going to be interesting to see. Last thing on FSD then, Elon did say on Friday that beta 10.9 should be ready in about a week, so maybe the tail end of this week, and that beta 11 with single city slash highway software stack and many other architectural upgrades probably next month. All right, let's move on. I know I spent quite a lot of time on that, but next we've got a report, an exciting report on Tesla Energy. This is from Drive Tesla Canada. They're being told that at an all-hands Tesla Energy meeting late last month, they discussed their production targets and that, quote, by 2023, Tesla is expecting to be producing 47.48 gigawatt hours per year, end quote. That would be huge growth. Over the last 12 months, Tesla has deployed about 4.6 gigawatt hours of energy storage. So this would be a little bit more than 10 times growth from current levels in obviously a very, very short period of time. Now, this does seem pretty plausible because Tesla, of course, did disclose recently the 40 gigawatt hour plans for the new Tesla Energy facility in Lathrop. Now, it is probably worth pointing out that this report, in my opinion, is likely talking about production capacity rather than total annual installation targets. Because let's look at some of the wording in the Drive Tesla report. They say that, quote, according to our source, almost half of that capacity will be available this year, 20.73 gigawatt hours by the end of 2022, end quote. So that is very clearly talking about production capacity. So I would assume that the 2023 number is also talking about capacity, and that could also be talking about year-end capacity. So actual deployments, even if Tesla does hit their plans, may be quite a bit lower, maybe something like 30 gigawatt hours instead in 2023. That would still be tremendous growth, about 150% compound annual growth rate at that level. But just like with vehicles, it is critical to understand those differences. And one of the reasons that I mentioned that is because the Drive Tesla article did mention that that could be about $22 billion in revenue for that 48 gigawatt hours of storage. So I saw some discussion and excitement about that number, but if we're at 30 gigawatt hours, that's going to be quite a bit lower. And that $22 billion was already probably an overestimate. I think that's probably based on the price of one megapack, but there are volume discounts here. That discount scales up pretty quickly. So if you look at a gigawatt hour of storage, for example, Tesla's pricing that at $338 million. So even at current prices, 48 gigawatt hours would be more like $16 billion rather than $22 billion. Not every project is going to be that large, so maybe not every project would be that discounted. But as Tesla ramps up, more and more projects are going to be that size. Plus, prices are probably going to fall a bit, so maybe 48 gigawatt hours would be, I don't know, $15 billion. And again, that's probably capacity, so if deployments are less, then that probably moves that down closer to $10 billion in revenue though that would assume all mega packs, and some of that would go into power walls as well. Regardless, very exciting to hear, and seems to be an indication that Tesla, at least as of a couple weeks ago, feels confident in their battery supply if they've got these big plans for Tesla Energy. The last other detail in this article, also very interesting, is that they say that the Megafactory is expected to come online later this year, and that before it does, Tesla will be phasing out the original Megapack, internally known as MP1, and introducing a brand new version this quarter, known as MP2. Apparently, there will be a larger unit as well, called the MP2 XL. And they do say they'll use CATL prismatic LFP cells. I don't know if it means for both units, but I would imagine it probably does. And they also say they'll stop MP2 production after the first quarter of 2023 to then only produce the MP2 XL after that. So we'll see if this stuff comes to fruition, but it looks like an exciting period of time here that we're coming up on for Tesla Energy. All right, next up here, we've got a couple of quick updates from analysts. First up from Wedbush, Dan Ives tweeting over the weekend, quote, "Based on our analysis of Giga Austin, it appears paperwork is now clearing the way for Model Y production starting over the next 7 to 10 days. We believe the stamping machines for Model Y and testing is already in place and mostly completed. Green light for Tesla to kick off Austin," end quote. Beyond what we've already talked about, not really much more to add to that. So the next update here is from Goldman Sachs. They have increased their price target on Tesla now. Their initial reaction with the delivery report indicated that they might. We're now seeing that. Price targets increased from $1,125 before, now up to $1,200 per share. Even though that's not really that much higher than the current stock price, they do say that that is one of their top 7 picks for 2022 in the global automotive sector. They write, quote, "We raise our estimates and price target on Tesla to reflect higher deliveries, and we consider the stronger fourth quarter report to be a good sign for the potential 2022/2023 deliveries as new capacity ramps. We now expect deliveries of 1.4 million and 1.7 million in 2022/2023, end quote. Then they talk about their earnings per share estimates and note that the price target is still based on 15 times Q5 to Q8 revenue, which would be another way of saying 2023. So obviously their delivery estimates here are, well, clearly laughable. I mean, Tesla could end up doing 1.7 million this year. So even though Tesla beat their Q4 delivery estimate by 21%, they ended up only raising their 2022 estimate by 5%. Previously, it was 1.33 million. And then they bumped up their price target by 7%. That's based on 2023, as I mentioned. But I was kind of reflecting on those differences, and I found it interesting because we've been talking about the macro environment and how these small changes in timing of interest rate increases or what the yield is doing on the 10-year, and how these can have such big impacts on the entire market. And it's really based on extrapolation, right? It's not so much those small moves in and of themselves, but rather what they do to expectations. So the extrapolations of those small moves, and yet Tesla crushes all these analyst delivery estimates, and for the most part, they're quite wary to extrapolate from that. And I'm not saying that's unfair or anything like that. Like, we're talking about two different things here, analysts on Tesla and then just the broader market reacting to interest rates, but to some extent, I just feel like it's kind of a microcosm of some of the inherent silliness of the market in general. We did also see a price target increase from Morgan Stanley today. This one happened after hours, but they've increased their price target from $1,200 up to $1,300 per share. They humorously note that Tesla's fourth quarter deliveries were 20% above their forecast, annualizing to over 1.2 million units, already above their prior forecast for fiscal year 2022. They've now increased that forecast up to 1.46 million. Still a pretty tepid increase in my mind, and they have not made any changes to their bull case or bear case. Those still sit at $1,600 per share and $500 per share, respectively. Lastly, from the analyst, we also heard from Global Equities Research, Trip Chowdhury. He's still looking at delivery activity from Fremont, saying that here in the first week of January, it's still looking extremely strong, saying that on January 7th, there was more activity than they saw on December 28th, which we had previously talked about, he already thought was strong at that point. So tough to make too much of that, I think. But that was reported on as well. All right, next up today, we got news from Reuters that is reporting that Tesla has signed a new nickel contract with a nickel miner in the US. They report that Tesla on Monday said, which is interesting because usually Tesla doesn't say anything, so I'm curious as to where that came from, but they report that Tesla said that it has signed its first US supply deal for nickel with Talon Metals out of Minnesota. Tesla will reportedly be buying 75,000 tons of nickel over 6 years, as well as some cobalt and iron ore from Talon. From what I've read, this would obviously depend on the vehicle and the pack size and those things, but from what I've read, this should be enough for maybe 1.5-2 million cars or so. Pretty decent chunk, but again, that is over 6 years, so maybe something like 250,000 per year. All right, last few items here. First, on Giga Shanghai, Wuhua did a couple more drone videos, 10 minutes apiece of vehicles leaving the factory. We had looked at those run rates before, and previously vehicles had been leaving the factory anywhere between 48 and 44 seconds. across those three videos. This time for the Model Y, it was pretty much right in that range at 42 seconds per vehicle, but for the Model 3, it was one every 70 seconds. So it kind of just demonstrates that those rates that we were seeing were probably pretty accurate in terms of peak rates, and that Tesla's not always going to be operating at that peak rate, certainly. Still, always helpful to see a little bit more data on that. We went through all the extrapolation math and stuff before, so I'm not going to spend our time on that again. Next is something I'm kind of just keeping an eye on, and I've seen a few reports of. It's tough to say how widespread any issues here may be, but seeing some reports of people having issues with the HVAC in extreme cold over the last couple of weeks. In some cases, reports of losing heat, which obviously can be a safety concern. Really tough to know how widespread any issues may be, but something that's worth monitoring, I think. And just for my part, I would say that I did get called into service. I don't know, this was a couple months back, and they said this was proactive for something with the HVAC ahead of colder weather. So I don't know if anything here would be related, but hopefully we'll learn a little bit more about any potential issues here over the next couple of weeks. All right, that pretty much does it for today. Last thing I'll just share that I am feeling quite a bit better. Thanks for the kind words on Friday. Appreciate that. And as always, thank you for listening. Make sure you're subscribed and signed up for notifications. You can also find me on Twitter at Tesla Podcast. And I'll see you tomorrow for the Tuesday, January 11th episode of Tesla Daily. Thank you.